Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Joining us to talk about the temptation of Jesus, Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest, as she is regularly every week on a Monday afternoon. Was Jesus really tempted? I mean, if there's one thing we know about Jesus among the many things we do, it is that for him to be our Savior, he has to be without sin. No sin. He must be the sin bearer, the one who bears our sin and none of his own. So, I don't know about you, it's hard for me to imagine being tempted, but still having no sin, not even entertaining the idea, thinking, that might be a good idea. So what are we watching when we're watching Jesus being tempted for us in the wilderness? Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome.
Thank you, Todd. Good to talk to you again today.
We confess, as the church has historically confessed, as Scripture so clearly teaches, that Jesus is without sin. So is this temptation real, or is it just some kind of strange dance between the devil and Jesus?
Oh, great question. And of course it's real. It's a very real temptation. And if you look here in our text for this week, Luke chapter 4, and it talks about Jesus being in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. Very clearly, that's what it says. And then it says that he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. Not only was he really tempted, he was really hungry, because our Savior is a flesh and blood Savior. Yes, he is God, the Son of God, but he is also true man. That's what the whole Christmas sequence was about. Forget the trees and the presents under the trees. It's about God becoming man, to live, suffer, die on this earth for us, for our sins. And that's the only way that his death on the cross, that his payment for us, could be real. He had to be true man. He had to experience what we experience. And as Hebrews chapter 4 says, be tempted in every way as we are, but is without sin. And that's what we have. Truly tempted, felt all the pressure, felt all the agony of temptation that we all know so well, but did not give in to it, did not sin.
All right. We only have about a minute before we take a break. I want to get the story on the other side of the break, but is this the only time Jesus was tempted? Less than a minute here.
Oh, I don't think so. I think there are other times. I think about the time in the garden when he's praying, not my will but thine. He doesn't really want to go through this. His human nature knows what he's facing. I think there's probably many times in his life on this earth that he faced temptation every day, like you and I do.
I like that. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the temptation of Jesus and tell the story of his temptation. Now, I said at the very beginning, he's not only tempted, but he's tempted for us. Jesus is substitute. Right before his temptation, he is declared to be the sinless Son of God. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased, says God the Father. And he, in his baptism, takes up the sins of the world onto himself. So he is bearing not just the temptation, but the guilt of our sin as he is tempted, and yet without sin. Being tempted in our place, where we are tempted and fail, he is tempted but doesn't. We'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're talking about the temptation of Jesus. Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes in this first hour, Monday afternoon, February the 15th, talking with Deaconess Pam Nielsen about the temptation of Jesus. 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Pam, tell us the story of Jesus' temptation. How does it go for him?
Well, as you talked about before the break, this event happens right after his baptism. And the text begins beautifully. We understand it says, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days. So one thing we know, he wasn't alone. The Spirit of God is with the Son of God there in the wilderness. But he is physically alone as a human, walking about, eating nothing for those days. And the devil takes this opportunity to tempt him. And he speaks to him, and he, in three very specific temptations, offers him an opportunity to sin and makes it look very enticing and very very okay, like he does with us. You know, seldom does Satan tempt us with something that's obviously evil. He has ways of making us think, well, this wouldn't be so bad, or this might actually be a good thing to do. And so he tries all his tricks on Jesus with these three temptations. Jesus resists. He quotes Scripture. And then it says, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And so with each temptation, Jesus meets him with the Word of God and stands firm in that and doesn't give in. And that is the basic story. And, you know, we should talk about these three different, they were different temptations.
Well, let's do that. Let's talk about in the order that they come. The first one, occasioned, of course, by the fact, as you mentioned, he's really, truly hungry. Turn these stones into bread. Talk about that one, if you will.
That's right. You know, and I think for our Sunday school kids and for us in this land of plenty, we don't know what truly hungry is. We're talking 40 days. You know, doctors would tell us nobody could survive that. We're hearing these stories out of Haiti. So this isn't just, oh, I missed a meal or two. This is, you know, starving. true hunger. And so Satan approaches him and says, look, if you're the Son of God, you say you are, you know, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And really in that, he's tempting Jesus to take things into his own hands, like he tempted Eve in the garden. You know, go ahead and eat from this tree. Take this, turn these stones to bread and eat. And in that, turning him away from trusting in God the Father, trusting that he would do as he has promised for all man, all humanity, to provide all that we need for this body and life. So there's that first temptation for him to become a bread king. And Jesus answers with the word, man shall not live by bread alone. And cuts him off, uses the word of God from Deuteronomy there. And then Satan takes him up and shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, it says. And he says, I will give you all of this authority and all the glory that comes with it. And if you will worship me, I will give you this. And so this next temptation to take what will be his ultimately and eternally, to take it now prematurely before the suffering, before the cross, glory before suffering. Satan is using the theology of glory here to tempt Jesus away from God's plan, from the way God said it needed to happen. And Jesus resists again with the word, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he's not going to worship Satan. He's not going to trade anything here. He's going to trust God's plan, and he's going to keep his eyes on God the Father as the true God. And then Satan takes him to Jerusalem and sets him on the pinnacle of the temple and says, if you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And here Satan turns the tables in his temptation and uses God's word against Jesus, uses it to draw him into sin, to once again take matters into his own hands, to put God to the test, and to take this risk and jump off this building and use his powers instead of trusting his heavenly Father. And Jesus answers him right away and says, "It is not you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And that's the end of the story. He stops Satan in this. And another trick we all experience, Satan kind of twisting God's word in our head, in our ears, and in our mind so that somehow we can justify sin even with the word of God. And that was that last temptation.
Talk about, if you would, the fact that this is far more than simply Jesus showing us how to do it, that this is Jesus doing it in our stead.
Well, that's a really important point. You know, you can be real basic with this story and give a 1, 2, 3 how to resist temptation. But to do that would be to completely miss the point, because we can't resist temptation. We can maybe do it for a moment here or there in time, but the fact is that we are so utterly filled with sin that Satan can have his way with us, does have his way with us, and we need this Savior, this Jesus, both God and man, who came to this earth, who lived the life that we live, who did perfectly keep the law of God for us, took our sins upon himself, resisted temptation for us, and took all of it to the cross and paid the price of our sins. This is what this is about, who Jesus is for us and what he did for us so that we would live eternally and receive the forgiveness of God. And we really got to take kids to the cross and run this whole story through Christ on the cross. Otherwise, it becomes another nice lesson in Christian living, and that's not enough from this text.
With only about 30 seconds, you can speak a word of comfort to those who are tempted and fall on the basis of Christ being tempted and resisting completely and remaining sinless for us. With only 30 seconds,
right.
What is that word of comfort?
The word of comfort is that we don't look to ourselves and our sin and our failings. This is all about a Savior who came for us, and we look to Him and to His keeping the law and to His suffering for us and to His dying for us. And so when we are overcome with the guilt, when we have given in to Satan's temptations and sinned, we repent, we look to our Lord, we look to His cross, and trust in His suffering and death for us, and know that we have the forgiveness of sins that God promised to give us and does give us through our baptism, through His Word, through the Lord's Supper, rich gifts for us, and Jesus doing here what we could not do. He did it for us.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Concordia Publishing House will send you free samples of their Sunday School curriculum called Growing in Christ. Just call 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more about Growing in Christ at issuesetc.org. Pam, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Next week, we'll talk with Pam about Jesus healing 10 lepers. In the second hour of the program, we're going to spend some time with Robert Spencer, a few minutes with him talking about President Obama selecting a special envoy to the Organization of the Islamic Conference. We'll see what that organization is and what Robert Spencer thinks will come of this selection. Then Pastor Bill Swirla will spend the rest of the hour with us in hour two, talking about love in the Scriptures. Well, it goes without saying, love is a big theme in Holy Scripture. And everyone thinks of 1 Corinthians 13. How does that fit into it? What do we make of these distinction of different kinds of love that we often hear about in the Bible? We'll talk about all of that in about 15 minutes here on Issues, Etc. in Hour 2 with Pastor Bill Swirla. The comfort in the midst of temptation is a Savior who has been tempted for us in our stead and resisted. It's called perfect obedience. Even in the face of temptation, could Jesus sin? No, it is impossible for Jesus to sin. And yet, in the mystery of His incarnation, He is still tempted to sin, truly tempted as we are, and yet be assured without sin, so that He can go to the cross as the truly sinless substitute, substituting for you in His temptation so that He might substitute for you in His whole life laid down for you at the cross. Hour two of Issues, Etc. is straight ahead. We'll talk President Obama's selection of a special envoy to the Organization of the Islamic Conference. Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch will be our guest.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address: Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.